Let us pray. God of power and might, we profess that Christ, your love embodied, rules over all creation. Grant that Christ may rule over our own hearts, that we may belong to you alone, that our trust be in you, that our will be subservient to yours, that our lives are holy in your service. God of grace, we pledge allegiance to you and to your Christ. Speak your word to us and order our lives by your grace. Amen. A reading from Paul's letter to the Colossians. Christ is the visible appearance of the invisible God, the beloved older sibling of all creation. All things in heaven and on earth were created in Christ, everything visible and invisible, rulers and powers and systems and empires. Everything was created through Christ and for Christ. Christ came before anything, and in Christ everything holds together. Christ is the head, and the church is the body. Christ is the source of life and has turned even death into a birth. So Christ is first in every way. In Christ, God lives completely. Through Christ, God reconciles us to God, all of us, and everything on earth and in heaven. In dying on the cross, Christ brought God and humanity together. This is the mystery, hidden for ages but now revealed, that Christ is alive in us. Alleluia. Hear the word of God for the people of God.
There are going to be two responses to the gospel today besides the spoken one. I'm going to invite you to join in number 488 in the blue hymnal. You'll recognize it right away. Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Luke's gospel. They took Jesus to the place called the Skull, and there they crucified him along with two bandits, one on either side. Jesus said, "Abba, forgive them. They do not know what they do." They cast lots for his clothing. People stood and watched. The leaders scoffed at him, said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he really is the Messiah, the chosen one of God." The soldiers mocked him. They came up and offered sour wine and said, "Save yourself if you really are the king of the Jews." They made a little sign up above his head that said, "The king of the Jews." One of the bandits was deriding and saying, "Look, if you're the Messiah, save yourself and us." The other one said, "Do you not fear God? We are under the same sentence of condemnation, but we're receiving just punishment for our deeds. This man has done nothing wrong." And then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus said, "Truly, I'm telling you, today you will be with me in paradise." The gospel of the beloved, Jesus Christ. can understand why they made fun of him. It's obvious that he wasn't really a king. He didn't have any territory. He didn't have any government. He didn't have any army. He didn't have any power. He was humiliated and powerless and shamed and tortured to death. Sometimes when we say Jesus is king, we mean that in sort of a theological way that's kind of abstract. But it's hard for us to imagine Jesus as an actual sovereign, ruler with power. Especially as long as we keep thinking the way the world thinks about power, which is generally power over others. A king is a king because they have the power to beat up your enemies or whoever you're afraid of. And then they have the power to make you do what they want them to do. Otherwise, they would hurt you. And they have the power to hurt you, so you do what they want. That's pretty much how anybody ever became a king in Jesus' world. Well, we don't really have those, do we? Yeah, we do. There are powerful things in our lives. There are things that are maybe more powerful than everything else. And when I look around, it seems like maybe at least the second most powerful thing in the world is fear. It drives us. We obey its commands. We do anything our fear tells us to do. We avoid everything our fear tells us to stay away from. We are very obedient. The only thing that's more powerful than fear is Jesus. It's love. It's there. More powerful than fear. I really don't want a king who can beat up whatever I'm afraid of. What I really need is something that can overcome my fear. And Jesus is that sovereign who can do that. Who can meet us in our worst places on the cross of our lives. Our utter powerlessness, our utter shame, and overcome that fear and that shame, who can overpower all of our desires. That's a sovereign to whom I will bow. That's a sovereign to whom I will pledge allegiance, and to no other. That is someone that I want to rule my life, not just in an abstract way, but to actually rule. You've probably noticed what it's like to watch somebody who is acting under command. You watch somebody who might be a soldier on a battlefield, or even somebody like a firefighter who has a very specific job they've been given and they've been commanded to do it, and they do it. And they do it if it's hard, and they do it if it's scary, and they do it if it's dangerous. They do it anyway because those are their orders. We chafe against that most of the time. We don't like to be under orders. We don't like the idea of having a ruler, an emperor, a boss. And because we don't, our fear is our ruler and our emperor and our boss until we actually pledge allegiance to an even higher power, an even greater ruler, an even mightier king. And Jesus reigns with that kind of power precisely by being powerless. You can't fight that. They couldn't fight Jesus' capacity to go to the worst place on the planet among people who are being crucified and there to exercise his power, to to forgive people and nobody could stop him. To endure suffering and nobody could budge him. Could threaten him and humiliate him and torture him and nobody could slow him down. And in the worst of that place, to offer paradise to a criminal. Nobody could prevent it. That's the king I want. Sometimes people think of baptism as protection. We're about to baptize beautiful little Amelia. And there are some people who want this to be about her being safe. Baptism is sort of the opposite. Baptism isn't a fortress in which we hide from the battles of life. Baptism is the armor that prepares us to go into battle. And the armor is nothing but love. The armor is pure powerlessness that you can't fight. It's the greatest power in the world. It's our baptism that gives us the courage to do what's hard and scary and even dangerous. It's the grace of God that baptism promises. It's that grace. It's that sovereignty of Jesus who says, I can defeat any fear you face. I'm with you. Come with me. That's what sends us out into our lives, not to be safe from suffering, but to enter into the suffering of the world under the command of our commander. To offer healing where there's hurt and hope where there's despair and love where there's hate and light where there's darkness. And nobody can stop that. It's that grace that's hidden in that command of our sovereign that sends us out to walk side by side with somebody who's being bullied because they're trans. It's what gives us the courage and the presence to sit at the bedside of somebody who's dying, even when we don't know what to say. It's what gives us the peace to listen to somebody who's really mad at us. It's what gives us the courage to love somebody who's not very good at loving back. It's what gives us the peace to be with those who are oppressed and to bear their pain and to work with them for justice and not get discouraged. It's what gives us courage that nobody can take away. That's the blessing we're giving little Amelia. Not protection, a different kind of victory, not domination, a different kind of mighty, mighty powerlessness. The kind of sovereignty that Jesus has that enables Jesus to walk into our worst moments and offer us paradise. And because of that love, we know we're already there. That's what we mean when we pledge allegiance to that sovereign. That's what we mean when we say, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. It is here. Will you pray with me? God, for your infinite love that is more powerful than everything, we give you thanks. We pray for the faith to truly, every moment, pledge our allegiance to our one true sovereign, to live each moment under the command of the King of Love, to trust the power of your grace. God, we hear your voice and the cry of Amelia. We pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.